This is a public service announcement.
Hello and welcome to the JHR Rights Report. I'm your host, Adam Bema, with Journalists for Human Rights, Canada's largest media development organization. Broadcast on CKUT 90.3 FM and podcast online at rabble.ca. Coming up on this edition of the Rights Report, I speak with a witness to the 2006 atrocities committed in Sri Lanka. But now it's time for our social media minute. Joining me here on the Rights Report is our social media consultant, Damiano R. So, Damiano, what's been trending this week on Twitter?
Well, Adam, those interested in the Sri Lankan conflict might want to turn to Twitter to see what the general public's idea is on what has been going on in the past few years, and lately as well. It seems that almost every tweet that went out this weekend that was hashtag with Sri Lanka was also hashtag with war crimes and human rights. This would explain why last weekend a documentary about the aftermath of the war was picked as the second best film in the prestigious film festival known as the Film South Asia Festival 2011. The film is known as The Truth That Wasn't There. It's a documentary about three student filmmakers who crossed the front lines and in the wake of the civil war in Sri Lanka. In doing so, they accidentally become the first independent journalists to visit the final battlegrounds. JHR Concordia is currently in negotiations to have the film screened here in Canada because, as many of you know, in Canada we have one of the largest Tamil diasporas in the world.
Right. Now, were these students who did the film, did they actually go to Sri Lanka once the civil war ended?
I think they were actually there in 2009. They were actually there in the midst of it all. I know one of them, the director, his family is from Sri Lanka. And I think it's him and his girlfriend and someone else that went there. And it was like a regular trip, and they totally got access to all these places that CNN and BBC journalists couldn't go to. And they just started filming, and out of it, documentary came out.
Right. Now, were they, you mentioned that they were students. Were they actual journalism students that went there? And where do they come from?
They came from England. Yes, they were journalism students. What's cool about this is that a lot of people have quoted this documentary as being one of the documentaries that brings back the truth-telling in documentary filmmaking, which has been kind of rare in the past few years. So it's really, even Amnesty International has picked up on it, and they've actually just finished touring the United States with it. And that's why we would like them to come to Canada, because it would have such a huge impact over here.
There's also a film that was done earlier this year by by Channel 4 in the UK called the Sri Lanka's Killing Fields. Have you had a chance to view that?
Yeah, I have seen it. It was aired July 14, 2011. And it's a great documentary about what has been going on and all the war crimes over there. There are a lot of aid workers who were there at the time who were told to leave right before the final attack on the LTTE, and that documentary really shows a lot of the war crimes that the government has done. But it also what it allows people to do is also see the propaganda that's against it. I mean, the documentary is available on YouTube if you just look for it. It's called Sri Lanka's Killing Fields. And if you go through the documentary, if you go through the comments in there, you can kind of see all the brainwashing that the government has done towards the Sinhalese people, against the Tamil, and that the LTTE has done towards the Tamils. And that's kind of why they hate each other right now over there.
Right, because it seems like the problem continues, even though this civil war ended a few years ago.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
No problem.
That was Damiano R., the Rights Report social media consultant. You can follow him on Twitter, where he tweets regularly about human rights and how social media is changing the media landscape, at Damiano R., and also at JHRConU. In international human rights headlines, the government of Sri Lanka has again postponed talks with the main Tamil party. 2 years after the three-decade-long civil war came to an end, the Sri Lankan government has yet to resolve any issues with the Tamil National Alliance. After months of stalemate, talks were resumed in August, then planned to continue in October. The Tamil party threatened to withdraw from proceedings if the government doesn't show its commitment to resolving their issues in a timely manner. Meetings between the two factions were scheduled for this week, but quickly rescheduled to take place after local elections in Sri Lanka on October 8th. Colombo Online newspaper reports no specific time has been set for the next meeting, but says the talks aim to peacefully resolve issues between the majority Sinhalese and minority Tamils. The war between Sri Lankan troops and Tamil Tiger separatists ended in May 2009. According to Amnesty International, 10 to 20,000 civilians were killed in the final months of the conflict. And the Canadian government recently criticized Sri Lanka for its inaction on addressing the atrocities committed during the civil war. Canada's Foreign Minister John Baird spoke publicly about the concerns with the lack of accountability in Sri Lanka when it comes to investigating war crimes. Baird also acknowledges the lack of reconciliation between the Sri Lankan government and the country's Tamil minority. Prime Minister Stephen Harper says he would boycott the 2013 Commonwealth meeting in Sri Lanka if they don't improve their human rights record. Opposition members are demanding the Prime Minister call on other Commonwealth member countries to revoke Sri Lanka's membership until they're judged in international courts. The government of Sri Lanka is awaiting a November 15th report known as the Lessons Learned and Reconciliation Commission. Amnesty International calls this inquiry flawed at every level, and they call on the international community to act and pursue justice for the victims of this atrocity. Almost 2 weeks after the state of Georgia executed death row inmate Troy Davis, his body was put to rest. Davis was convicted and sentenced to death in 1991 for the murder of off-duty police officer Mark McPhail in Savannah, Georgia. Since then, many witnesses have come forward to recant their testimony, and all the while, Davis continued to claim his innocence. After repeated calls for an appeal and a stay of execution, the U.S. Supreme Court denied Davis clemency, and he was quickly put to death. Amnesty International calls the execution of Davis a catastrophic failure of the justice system, but says the fight to end the death penalty is far from over. Many countries around the world use capital punishment, from China and Iran to Saudi Arabia and Vietnam, while in the U.S. it is being used in 34 states. Davis's family vows to continue the fight to abolish the death penalty in the U.S., while the state of Georgia prepares for its next execution. Stay tuned to the Rights Report in the coming weeks for more information. For Human Rights at Home, I speak with a witness to the atrocities committed by both sides in the 2006 war in Sri Lanka.
The first attack I saw was the attack on school children, that is on Sencho Lai, that's an orphanage, attack on an orphanage. The people, the school girls, mostly girls, they were taking a training program, first aid program. And it was targeted on the early morning to that place. That was earlier, that was the LTTE orphanage. I don't know why they targeted that school girls. They know because it was targeted straightly and correctly to the place. I don't know. It is whom we have to blame, whether the education department failed to inform to the government, or the government wanted the target to be attacked. We don't know. Frequently, we hear a lot of sound, bomb blast, mostly air attack, the kefir attack, and the bomber attack. These attacks were mostly on the civilian targets. They say that is they targeted the LTT camps, but mostly most of them were fell into the civilian places. Once there was a air attack in Pudukudirupu. That attack was on a market that I saw. Really, I saw a lot of people. I think it's more than 30 people were killed on the spot.
So even though that they were targeting, the Sri Lankan military was targeting the LTTE, they were actually attacking civilian areas?
Yes. Mostly the I don't think they have the air attack were strictly targeted to the LTT camps, but mostly they were targeted to the civilian places.
Sri Lanka is a very beautiful place, and that is the image its government would like you to remember. Its tourism industry is recovering from a quarter of a century of brutal civil war. And in March, it triumphantly played host to the Cricket World Cup quarter-final between England and its own national Sri Lankan team. But this public face hides a very different reality.
That was a clip from UK Channel 4 documentary, Sri Lanka's Killing Fields. You also heard from a witness to attacks on civilians during the civil war in Sri Lanka. For his own protection, he cannot be named. In rights-related events happening around Canada, the Toronto Palestine Film Festival is wrapping up tonight at the Bell Lightbox Cinema. The week-long festival highlights films by Palestinian filmmakers around the world. If you're in Toronto, check out the film premiere, Hip Hop is Bigger Than the Occupation, and closing performance by Shadia Mansour. And starting this week at Montreal's McCord Museum, Oil, a photography exhibit by Canada's renowned landscape photographer, Edward Bertinsky. This exhibit will kick off with a speaking event by Bertinsky, where he will discuss the manufactured landscapes he documents. Occupy Wall Street-inspired protests will be happening in cities all over Canada, October 15th. The worldwide movement will have Canadians in the streets from Vancouver to Ottawa in support of the ongoing Occupy Wall Street campaign. Social media has helped get their voice out to the world and brought international attention to the protest, which started September 17th in New York City's financial district. To find out more, visit OccupyWallStreet.org. The Montreal Institute for Genocide and Human Rights Studies is hosting a conference called The Promise of the Media in Halting Mass Atrocity. From October 20th to the 21st, join those concerned about human rights at the Mount Stephen Club to discuss how social media can play a role in stopping genocide. For more information, go to migsr2pconference.com.
So we're bringing together a group of leading journalists, social media activists, politicians, and NGO people to discuss the changing media landscape, how we can use Twitter and Facebook to connect or relay information about looming mass atrocity crimes to decision makers back here in North America.
That was former aid worker and UN diplomat Kyle Matthews on the relevance of social media in stopping mass atrocities. And that's this week's edition of the JHR Rights Report. I'm your host, Adam Bema, from Journalists for Human Rights in Montreal. Tune in next week when the Rights Report examines Eritrea. A decade after President Afwerki ordered the arrest of his critics, what's the fate of this country's political prisoners? I leave you now with a song called We Are One by Montreal Tamil hip-hop group SE Boys. Thanks for listening.
It was all a dream, you keep hurting me.
But why they keep slaughtering the kind by the millions? Mad that you stay hidden like chameleons. It's food for thought, you better start nourishing. We want peace, but the leaders stay ignorant. Dropping bombs on the towns that are threatening. They're blowing up the world that we're living in. Bunch of animals murdering the innocent. But even animals have dignity. They don't kill by the thousands for an enemy. They do it for survival and family. Military kill for the nation's integrity. But will integrity bring all the dead back? The mothers that were killed and the kids who were shot at? Then create bullshit to hide all the true facts. Putting on a mask is acting what they good at.
Dream. You keep hurting me, taking all the lives of my family. Oh, and you're telling me that these wars.
When there's not enough space, we are equal, forget about race. We're running for peace, you can join me in the race. Brace yourself, this is my wisdom. Place yourself in the shoes of the victims and see the truth from the eyes of the system and be the change that you want the world to become.
Can anyone hear the scream?